Reboot. I'm Alan.
I'm Matt. Jake. Jinx. I don't know the order.
Pink
I don't
coat, coat.
Who cares? We said it.
We're both here. Everybody's here. Hey. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. How you doing? Hey, what's up?
You know the most fun thing about doing the little bit of research for these recordings today was hearing us opine at the end of last year's superhero. Uh-huh. Our last year's Pulp Hero episode about, boy, 2021's going to be better.
I saw a thing that was like, hey, nobody fucking say anything about 2022.
Don't say it. Don't say
anything. Nobody claim that it's your year. Nope. Just don't. Just don't.
Nope.
So we are here instead to talk about the League of Friends Who Do Justice Together with Friendship and Love, a.k.a. the Conclave.
Thank you. That is such a long name to be wrong for the whole time. I'm going to...
We got
too many F's in there.
We got the joke bad name on the one of these ongoings that technically has no obvious endpoint.
Yep.
The one that could go on for till the heat death of the universe, and that's the one we gave the joke name to.
I'm gonna make a tiny confession, and that is that...
You like it, don't you?
What?
You like it, don't you?
Oh, God, no.
Jake likes League of Friends Who Do Justice Together with Friendship and Love, doesn't he?
I explicitly do not. What happened was that I listened to these episodes enough weeks ago that I don't know how many weeks ago it was. I think it was earlier mid-December. I don't remember. So I am relatively fresh, but I'm glad y'all have both listened. It sounds like you both listened to the episodes much sooner than that.
I did. Over the past couple of days, I re-listened to Superheroes, and then I unfortunately started running out of time, and so I 1.5 sped the last 15 minutes of Pulp Hero. So that one is super fresh on my mind as I was scarfing down my Pokeball.
Yeah, I listened to those last night and today while playing Fallout 4, which I feel like fits the spirit because that's a pretty pulpy game.
It's true.
It very much is. So I have, I had mentioned to everyone prior to recording, dear listener, that I have a very, very, very stupid idea for Wave 4 of Conclave, and that is the new 52. But hear me out.
Okay.
This better be good, bud. It's way too early for a reboot already.
Hear me out. But we already did. The Crucible served as a reboot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, the last thing we did since the Crucible was a big, planetary event.
We did an event,
with the aliens and all of that.
From Pluto and all them.
Now that we're back into individual books, what I mean by New 52 is each character gets a new number one, and that number one is eerily similar to the last number one that they had, but it has weird little tweaks and things that are slightly wrong. But in the middle of the book, the hero goes, wait a minute, I've done this before. Why is this familiar? What is happening? And it's because the universe rewrote itself to have Yankee Dandy be good, Yankee Eagle be good. So it's repeating plot beats, which is going to help our heroes kind of pick away at the wallpaper to figure out something is wrong.
I like the idea.
I have concern.
I have one kind of, I don't know if mine is a concern so much as it is a caltrop.
We did the solo books after the Crucible.
Yeah,
the
solo books came after the Crucible. The first set of solo books that we did was after the Crucible. So, and we didn't reset the world again, did we?
We talked about way down, 50 episodes down the line, that Yankee Eagle would try to sucker Nature Boy into
Nature Boy
the
or somebody. Yeah.
Well, and
but we haven't
and
gotten
I guess,
there.
I guess the reason why I bring it up is at the end of the arc of the alien invaders, whose name completely escapes
there's,
my brain.
It's something's
some
from Pluto. I don't remember.
It's Galaxy Q7 invaders.
Galaxy Q7 invaders.
We said that Nature Boy and so that Moon Girl and Zero were going to meet up with Nature Boy to basically have coffee to go, we know something's wrong.
Something's
like
up, yeah.
We know that something's wrong. Maybe it's not a direct everybody does their first book again, but I like the idea of when the books resume, the heroes feel it's too familiar, that things are not, that they've done it before. It's just an entire sense of deja vu.
Okay. I have an idea.
I think that can work. I think we can make that work, and that can kind of set up the next wave of superhero. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
What's your idea, Matt?
My idea is we give Zero a book.
Mm.
And okay. So all of these like flashbacks, but it's slightly wrong, are him interviewing all of our solo book people up to this point.
A deja vu 52, if you will.
A 50 deja two.
A 50 deja two.
It's even worse because he typed it out, Jake, and it's...
Oh, you did? Where'd you type it out? At the bottom?
Yeah.
Deja VU-52. Look, I don't think that's bad. I enjoy that. I also am the new 52 enjoyer logging on. I don't think it was perfect.
I love the idea of Zero kicking off the books after the big event.
Yeah.
Interviewing folks, and he... Maybe he has the account that the reader knows, but the person he interviews says, no, it didn't happen like that. It happened like this. And they're just very minor differences.
What if, and we'll have to figure these out in a sec. Okay, so let's, before I get too far ahead of myself,
mm-hmm.
Everybody gets a book. Everyone that had a book keeps their book, and we add mm-hmm. one or two more. Is that what we're doing?
I'm assuming that we did not actually tie up everything. In the first
no, I don't think
series.
So.
Like, no, the first one was, it wasn't, we didn't even really make a lot of plots. It was just like starting and ongoing. We were just setting up mm-hmm. an ongoing. We'll figure that out in a second. Zero's getting a book. Are we giving Undersea their book? I don't know if we gave them that
We gave them theirs. They became the Exiles, mm-hmm. basically, is what their book was.
Okay, gotcha.
I say we give Zero a book and we give Spyro the Space Spy a book because Spyro's right. like
okay,
journeying
yeah, well,
to go get
be...
the Q7 well, invaders home.
And
yeah,
or that can be home. That can be our journey into mystery, right? That can be our
the weird shit,
weird
yeah.
Walter Simonson. Let's explore the universe. It's not normal.
Yeah, I was thinking almost like a Kirby New Gods kind of thing
for
there.
Sure. Also, he's the space spy and doing like James Bondy spy stuff, but in a pulp
space,
like,
but in space.
Here, that would be really cool.
Seeing horses with astronaut helmets is great.
Well, they would no.
that's in one of those really bad Doctor Strange dimensions that messes with your brain.
Can we? We need to get someone to draw a horse in a space helmet and make merch, and just at least make
a
shirt,
we
right?
Yeah.
We need to do that. Okay.
The person who did our new banner and everything actually put a horse with a space helmet on me.
Okay. So we just need to get her to...
We just need to get her to do it. I think it's on me. It's on one of... It's on me or Alan.
It's on one of us. Because Mike, I had a Medusa tank top, I think. Anyway, so we should do that. Everyone, listeners, stay tuned.
Merch time.
So here's what I'm thinking. If we're going to do merch, though... We need to, this year we have to be consistent.
Yeah, we need to get consistent.
This is the year.
Though, to be fair to us,
it was 2020 and 2021.
They went back. Well, Alan's 2020 started 3 months early and it didn't stop. So, there's reasons for it, but I feel like things are starting to, if not quiet down, level out.
Back to the rules and hit the ground running?
Yeah, some sort of smash mouth about it. So. Yeah. I I feel like I have forgotten my point, what I was trying to
say. We were talking about how...
Who gets
Spyro.
Spyro in space. By...
James Bond in space.
Yeah, that'll
I'm picturing like Dalton's cool. Bond in a Kirby-ass like setting,
like,
and that's perfect.
Like, what if Dalton's Bond was also like Flash Gordon? You know,
yeah.
Like that kind of yeah.
Flash Gordon, I think, is very much the vibe. Like James Bond, Flash Gordon.
Timothy Dalton
is very
was even in Flash Gordon. he was one of the, I don't know. He wasn't a bad guy. He was one of the miscellaneous heads of the. They had a lot of weird, like, different alien groups there.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, so everyone's getting the thing. We got Spyro. There's also one new character that we were told about. Because on the Discord, I said, "Hey, we're recording later."
Yes. Yeah. Hold on. Let me grab you on the link real fast. I pulled it up.
It's already in here.
It's in the notes too.
It is.
I added her to the list at the top.
Yeah.
Tomboy.
So, it's Tomboy. I have not looked at this until now because I saw it and Amelia was like, "Yes, I am here for this."
She's very good. I think she's very good. Minus the part that the book explicitly has her brother have a crush on her.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right, I'm going to read it.
So that line, unbeknownst to her police detective father, Lieutenant Charles Jackson, and her brother, Bill Jackson, Janie was secretly the crime-fighting tomboy. Since Bill had a crush on Tomboy, that was probably for the best.
Yeah, dog. Okay, so Janie Jackson was a demure, feminine schoolgirl. Parentheses. A perfect 50s girl, really. I don't know if that's editorializing. I don't know if that's editorializing by whoever wrote this or if that is like in the official publisher's thing back when they did it. I don't care for it either way.
Boy, you could flip a coin on that one.
Or at least that was the act she put on in public. Unbeknownst to her police detective father, Lieutenant Charles Jackson, and her brother Bill Jackson, she was secretly crime-fighting. She had no powers, but she was a skilled fighter, and she fought a villain known as the Claw.
Yeah, he's not that interesting.
He's just a gangster. Well, okay.
The other problem I have is in the notes, Tomboy is possibly the first female kid superhero, parentheses, or to specify even more, heroine, in parentheses, who wasn't someone's sidekick.
The hey, really y'all. Bad joke is, no, I don't think she's a drug.
Hey, y'all. Hero is a gender neutral word.
Whoever has started editing public domain superheroes, lay off.
Yeah.
We're fine. We're doing great.
Chill out. We're all trying to have fun here. Whoever's making public domain superheroes.fandom.com/wiki/tomboy specifically.
She was in four issues, but they only really talk about like one adventure. So,
well,
there's a lot we could do with her.
Yeah.
I think especially the dichotomy of it. I feel like Tomboy is such a weird. My aunt's cat's trying to get back in. She's gonna scratch at the door. She had her chance. I feel like it's such a like. I don't know how to say it. It's like not impressive, right? Like Tomboy
right.
is not like a superhero name, but it is just like. Evocative, like you fully get what's going on.
You know exactly what that
yeah,
is. Yeah,
and I feel like I like that.
Go ahead, Matt.
I think I know what we do with her.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think she is like, I think she grows up in Dusk Harbor. Like grows up. That's Moon Girl City.
That's Moon Girl's town. Yeah.
Grows up seeing Moon Girl be all badass and everything. Gets training because police dad and, you know, you're going to learn stuff. We can change her up a little bit there to, like, martial arts stuff and things like that from growing up with a police dad and a weird brother.
I have an idea for how she acquires her, like, power set, or which is just skills.
Okay.
But I'll put a pin in it for while you continue.
So I think she ends up being the person that goes through and becomes like our leader of our Teen Titans. Because I think she does it one of those like I am directly stealing from the Hawkeye show. which was very good. And
had no business being as good as it was.
It should have been stupid, and it was great.
So I haven't finished it yet, but one of my favorite things was at the end when they introduced Echo, and it, like, I obviously they don't say who it is, but it like showed her putting her hand on a thing, and I just turned to my friend who I was watching it with and went Echo? Echo.
Yeah.
Echo!
Did not expect Echo. Very excited. I don't know why I didn't, because, like, in the
spoilers.
In the I didn't catch anything, because I was like, oh, it's Jeremy Renner, and they're just aping the Fraction Aja run, and, like...
Yeah,
they
that's...
100% I mean,
like,
did that.
Like, they should, at the very least, it should say, based on the... When it says based on the Marvel comics, under that, it should say, by Fraction Aja and Annie Wu.
I think he got real credited, though. Like, I think he was in all the credits for it.
In the back end, though, I feel like right up front it should tell who basically made that, like, the Tracksuit Dracula's Pizza Dog, like, that's all from that run. So,
and there was some controversy with them not crediting Aja as much as they should.
Yeah,
have.
The entire visual look of the show is directly
was
from his stuff. Yeah,
from him.
And that's
he
why
had nothing to do with it.
That's why I went into it like, I'm not going to enjoy this. And also, Jeremy Renner has like no charisma. But then he was like a sad dad the whole time, and I was like, oh, I'm into this.
Went to a LARP, and I was like, oh my god, why? Did
I
you
thought
make
that was
like
hilarious because it was like,
it was
oh,
amazing.
I was like, he doesn't want to be here. Oh, but he's kind of into it. Oh, that's nice. anyway, so.
So I'm going to
steal it from the phrase from that, yes.
This is from like episode one, so I'm not spoiling anything. If you haven't seen the show yet, this should just entice you. So Kate Bishop played to perfection.
Haley Steinfeld, the girl.
Haley Steinfeld.
God, she was good.
She sneaks into like a black market auction, steals Ronan's suit, and then beats the shit out of the tracksuit mafia, which is inadvertently the inciting incident, but who cares? What I'm picturing here is, like, Janie is out at some event, and Moon Girl can't get into costume for whatever reason. Like, she's there real close to her girlfriend. She can't slip away.
Was
Janie
Moon Girl
just
a reporter,
like,
or was she a detective?
She's a reporter.
I think she might have been a PI, but her girlfriend was a reporter.
Her okay,
girlfriend
yes.
was the reporter.
I knew that, yeah.
So, like, they're right next to each other, so Moon Girl can't slip away. And this, like, kid just, like, grabs Moon Girl's scarf, whips it around her face, and then just, like, starts beating the shit out of some random thugs that are breaking in. And so Moon Girl's just like, huh.
Hold on.
All right, then.
I would go a different way. Go ahead, Alan.
My qualm is I want to hang on, as poorly worded as it was, I want to hang on to the fact that she is not a sidekick. Because
yes.
I feel like,
no, yeah,
as much as I love Kate Bishop Hawkeye, the way they, at least, granted, I didn't finish the series, so I see
what you're about to say, though. Yeah.
It's almost as though she is a protege slash sidekick to Renner Hawkeye.
To be fair, she is in both the comics and that at the start. So, like,
I was thinking more America Chavez.
Yeah, no, the point I was trying to make is that she impresses Moon Girl, and Moon Girl goes, oh.
I see my problem with that, and I think we can still save it, but I don't want to like introduce her this way, because if we do, she's gonna feel like a sidekick right away. You know what I mean?
Or switch it. Doesn't take the scarf. She, like, that exact event happens, but she doesn't dress up as Moon Girl. She just, like, has some, like, she literally puts a sheet over herself or something and just kicks a bunch of ass. And nobody knows. It's not connected to Moon Girl, but Moon Girl's like,
See, I would do this exactly the opposite way that y'all are doing it.
Okay.
I would introduce her as Tomboy first, okay? And have her be, like, a rough and tumble, not very ladylike, someone that would drive whoever wrote the public superhero wiki entry just crazy.
She wears slacks.
She's got pants on. She has fallen from the light of God.
She has short hair.
She's got short hair, and but it's got to be kind of long-ish so she can, like, do stuff with it. So, oh,
yeah, of course.
So like it's slick as Tomboy, it'd be like slicked back, right? And it would look it would look very cool. And I feel like we should introduce her maybe in somebody else's book, but like I feel like it would have to be like somebody I don't know who it would be. Let me just say what I'm thinking first, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we introduce her and then we have her do a couple things in somebody else's book first. And then we give her her own book. But in the other person's book, it would be like, I mean, looking at our roster, like.
I would say the Flame or Nature Boy shows up in America for some reason.
I'm thinking Nature Boy, right? So, and because Nature Boy is this very nice catch-all. he can do kind of anything. So he knows Tomboy. He knows her as Tomboy, who like. Will like just beat the shit out of you and like we'll stomp on your nuts till you die foods. And like well yeah, and they need to like as part of like whatever they're looking into because something that he's looking into because he is the one who looks into the like the things that slip through the cracks, not necessarily the cracks themselves because mm-hmm. that's undersea, right? That's how we
yeah
said okay. So he's looking for like something and he gets her help and there's fighting and he's like oh we got it like and he's like some kid. He's like some college boy who is like not going to sneak in anywhere. I feel like I feel like right now I want to give him the trait of he's not good at lying. He's not good at subterfuge
oh,
or anything
no.
like that.
I like that. Like he has
he's
he has
a cream
all
puff.
Of this. Well,
yeah.
He has all of these boons from the Roman gods. But lying is not a boon.
It's not because he's nature boy.
It's not a
and
good
it's not,
thing.
Yeah. And also like. It's not an element because all of his powers are mostly elements and
elemental.
Like, you know, he's nature boy and like, it's just like, it's in his human nature just to tell the truth, just to like be gen. So like, he's not good at sneaking into places. He's not good at like lying to people or pretending to be someone else. Mm-hmm. So they're like, how are we going to get into this very high class, like fancy ball to like get to like that guy who's not from this world. And if he meets with this other guy, bad things will go wrong. And then she just like ducks behind a phone or just starts stripping right there. And he's like, oh, God. And then just turns around and then she like stands up and she's in like a nice dress and her hair is done different. And she's like gorgeous. And she like just puts high heels on. She's like, all right, give me 10 minutes. I'll be right back. And he's like, what the fuck did I just see? Like, that's not Tomboy. I feel like that would be the best way to introduce her is like, oh, also she like this is another thing she's good at.
I love that. I have a question.
Yes.
Possibly stupid, which...
Well, you know, we've got a bar.
That's what the show is.
What if in the first time Tomboy is mentioned is in an interview that Zero's doing?
Okay.
And the person responds, like, Zero's going over whatever the situation was, and the person responds, yeah, but Tomboy was there. Why aren't you talking about Tomboy? Tomboy, to explain their absence in the previous stuff, because they are an incredible character that I kind of want to weave into the fabric of everything. They actually were created by the Crucible and have been a part of this history that the Crucible has created. They've been there since the beginning. So there is no, like, super introduction stuff. There's none of that. They just exist, and it's another thing to be like, but wait a minute, where'd this person come from?
Yeah,
I don't want to Clara Oswald her.
I want to do that with somebody. I don't know what that means, what you just said.
Oh, God, no, I just read, oh, no.
I would like to do
Doctor
that with...
a Doctor Who character who became
the Impossible Girl.
Stupidly important.
Fell asleep. What were you talking about?
Don't worry about
Is that
about
Jenna
it.
Coleman?
Yes,
it's Jenna Coleman.
She's very
she
pretty.
She was called the Impossible Girl.
She got
she was,
woven into her whole history. It was stupid.
Okay, I've been threatening to do a Doctor Who, not just rewatch, but actually keep watching it because I dipped off hard at the end of Matt Smith's run because it got
three, all Jenna Coleman about it. Yeah.
Three deep in the window up its own ass. Yep. But
it was not her fault. She is a very good actress.
No, I mean, she was the very little I saw. She was very good. I just like
I blame Stephen Moffat.
The whole this Moffat ran the show on the ground. So which sucks because I really like the first like two. Series of Matt Smith's run. So, you know, bummer. Anyway,
so
I would like to do that,
I
would like to do
with
that with somebody, though, but I don't want to do it with Tomboy because I want Tomboy to be like the this new wave, like the hot new character, you know?
Mm.
But I do like that idea of them mentioning it. What I think it should be is because we said that Zero and Moon Girl sit down with Nature Boy. And that should be in Zero's book.
Right.
And Nature Boy's like, yeah. And because, like, Nature Boy knows, but he's, like, being cagey about it. And he's so he's like,
so what if it's reversed then?
I don't want to tell you.
Zero's not giving the interview. Nature Boy is, but it's not an interview. It's literally a cup of coffee. They go to a cafe in Italy. They are sitting outside.
Well, Nature Boy's not just in Italy. He's not, like, based in Italy. He went to Italy to get the powers.
It's that kind of imagery in my head of, like, an alfresco cafe. Just out in, it's beautiful, it's, you know, all of this. And they're just having this open conversation. But the reader, we are in Nature Boy's POV. So when Zero and Moon Girl talk and they're like, yeah, this happened and this happened, Nature Boy's like, but that's not what happened. Like, that's different than what actually happened. Here's what actually happened.
I feel like we can do that. I just don't want
how that's a problem.
I just don't want Tomboy to be caught up in that. We can do that with someone.
We can scrap that.
I like the idea because I like that being because we have to kick it off in Zero's book, right? Because that's the thing that kicks it off. So
I have the answer for both of these ideas. Kindly direct your attention to the top of the page where there's a character named Super American.
Oh gosh, that sounds.
It's very bad, and the idea is a little stupid. The name is bad, so. Super American has spelled not existed in any of our previous conversations. So, in 1941, scientist Alan Bruce developed the Chronopticon, a machine that allowed him to view the future and communicate across time. He reached the year 2350, a time when everyone has superpowers. Blah, 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 blah.
Chronopticon is a better superhero name than the Super American.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think the Super American is entirely fabricated. Because if y'all remember, Atlas the Traveler vanished. What if he was remade into this dude?
Into the Chronopticon.
Who has all of his same kind of powers.
I like that. I like that
so
a lot.
Like, yeah, this Yankee gets Eagle really is just weirdly like, jingoistic in like one more sentence. So
yeah, I stopped reading very specifically. What if Yankee Eagle is just like, oh, and also with my wish, fuck this guy especially because he will mess up all of my plans.
See, I really love that. And I don't know if you did this on purpose, but have either of y'all been reading the new X-Men stories?
No.
They're not good. They're okay. They're turning the X-Men into a cult. I have issues with it. Whatever. One of the big things that they did was Moira McTaggart was revealed to not only be a mutant, but she basically has like a bunch of reincarnations.
She has her life cycle
lives,
loops.
The lives of X.
I think that rules actually.
No. That's not the stupid part. I like that. A lot of the stuff with Krakoa gets weird. But one of her big things during this portion of her timeline is death, because they learn to resurrect people and like they're able to resurrect mutants.
Using
gold balls to make eggs.
Because they're eggs, they're not balls, they're eggs. What a weird thing. X-Men's so always weird. Been stupid.
I fucking love X-Men. Anyway, she tells Charles and Magneto, you can never allow for Destiny to be reborn. Because if Destiny is reborn, if a precog comes in, everything is fucked. Because she'll see the future and she'll know. I like the idea.
Does nobody else have the power to see the future in the Marvel universe?
No, it's only Destiny. Well, X-Men.
Oh, okay, all right, okay.
Which pisses off Mystique because they are leaning hard into the fact that they were lovers. And it's it's so good. But anyways, I love that. I love the idea that Yankee Eagle, during all of the Crucible stuff, is like, who is the one person that can fuck me over the most? They're gone.
They are part of this reset. Yeah.
They are removed from this reality. But what they didn't realize is you can't just, you know, matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Mm-hmm. It has to be changed. So I love the idea that it changed him into this Chronopticon or whatever we decide to call him.
I would like to call him Chronopticon because I think that is a very satisfying word.
Yeah, me that's too. Much better like than Super American.
The Super American. Though... it would be funny if there was also a Super American who was like Yankee Eagle Light, who is like,
that's what I was thinking, you is know, that Super American was like an alternate Yankee Eagle.
Is it the new Captain America from Falcon and the Winter Soldier? Like
mean the reason why I can't watch that right now?
Yeah, probably.
I just didn't watch it because it didn't look interesting to me. I'm sorry.
It should have been a movie. It was fine.
I don't want to go back to, number one, I don't want to go back to Dark and Gritty Marble. Number two, I don't want to watch people get beaten to death with Captain America's shield.
That is not
something that I can mentally handle right now.
Cool, don't watch that. Anywho. Like a dark version of him. Yeah.
I love the idea that he said, Atlas, no, you're gone. But the universe, the Crucible said, I can't do that.
I can't just get rid of, yeah.
Is I can rewrite him and change him. But in doing so, like, it's still Atlas.
There's still Atlas in there. Yeah.
Have the memories. And Atlas exists because at one point you had talked about them finding Atlas's apartment, which I loved. But that could be where they could leave a hint of they're not Atlas anymore.
Right.
It could be the first hint of Chronopticon.
Is this like Atlas Chronopticon? This is Zero's story, right? This is the story we follow in Zero's book.
I think so.
Because I feel like this would be like good detective stuff. Yeah.
It's Zero. It starts Zero, Moon Girl, Nature Boy. But it's
in the Zero : Ghost Detective books.
Yes,
correct. After that conversation, I think that Moon Girl and Nature Boy still play a big role. I think there's a lot of interweaving between those two books.
Yeah.
But Zero specifically is focused on the Chronopticon mystery.
So here's my pitch. I like that a lot. So I think the first scene of Zero, and we should move on because we're at 30 minutes and I feel like we should talk about the other characters a little bit, but
yes.
I'm stuck on Tomboy, so give me a minute. So I think the first Zero book, it should just be them talking. And Nature Boy's like, he's trying to help, but he's also like, I don't know if I should give away the ghost to the ghost detective. So he's being actively cagey, but he's like telling them, he's like, I'm being cagey. Like I can't tell you everything, but like.
Because that makes a lot of sense with his character.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to lie to you, but I also can't tell you the truth. So like, as long as we can talk, as long as you can be okay with that. And then he says, like, I have this thing I have to work on anyway, so I can't help you with this Chronopticon mystery or whatever the hell. And then he's like, I just need someone to, I just need, like, some backup, and everybody's busy. And then Zero can go, like, oh, what about Tomboy? Tomboy's in town. You can get her to help you. And so then that's how we set up Tomboy. So we just, like, introduce Tomboy. It's just like, there is another superhero. There they are, right?
Okay, so Tomboy doesn't get their own book yet.
Yes.
Right? This portion of solo books is all introducing. Okay.
So this is still in like the very first scene of Zero's book, right? So then they split off. He goes off to investigate. Moon Girl goes to her book. Nature Boy goes to his book. That's where we introduce Tomboy as like just a real shit kicker.
I like the dynamic much more between Tomboy and Nature Boy. Although that is kind of weird with the names both having boy in them, kind of interesting. I like,
yeah, like how Superman and Batman and Hawkman hang out and Martian Manhunter.
Well, no. What I meant is I like the interplay of Nature Boy and Tomboy. Tomboy being something that it is not a boy. It is different, but like it's similar. I like
this is Boy Squad. Welcome to Boy Squad.
Boy Squad. So I really like
kind
that.
Of fun really, with that, actually,
just a really dirty rowdy boy.
and the thing is, I think the rest of the books are weirdly, I think the rest of the books are largely unaffected by this until the end of the Zero Run. The end of the Zero Run is where. Basically, Zero finds Chronopticon. Chronopticon gets their memories back, kind of. Maybe as Atlas, they left themselves information. But that's when all the rest of the books kind of get pulled in. So yeah. What I'm thinking, also to kind of avoid having to talk about each one of these books individually.
Who is Futuro? What are you doing, Matt?
That they continue their stories prior to the invasion arc.
I think, honestly, one, we need to talk about Liberty, because we did not give her anything, really, last time. We need to talk about her.
No, because she sort of was separated from it. So, yeah. Just real quick, Alan, I see what you're saying about how, like, they shouldn't... Are there books taking place before the Q7 invaders? Or is this directly after? I feel like this should be directly after. Okay.
So, like, their books... So, it would still be Dollman number 7...
Yeah.
But it is after the events of the invasion, but it goes back to doing whatever Dollman was doing prior to
Right,
the
Dollman
invasion.
Just goes home because the Q7 deals with... Yeah, okay.
Exactly. So there's not a lot of big... there are small threads because we're still interweaving a bunch of... That shouldn't be like that. And why do I get the feeling that this is... Why do I get the feeling that Chessmaster is supposed to be a man, but Chessmaster is a woman? Like, why do I get the feeling
right.
that some of these things are wrong? We can still play with that in those books, and I think that might be fun. But I don't think they have as much overarching lore as Zero, Moon Girl, Nature Boy, and eventually Tomboy.
Yeah, and I feel like Tomboy's, like, doesn't, like, I feel like she's just getting, like, caught up in it, because she's, like, also, just real quick, the origin of her, like, powers/abilities is her...
Does she have powers?
No, she doesn't, but she's just really good at kicking
in
ass.
In our world,
I still don't think so. I think she can be...
I kind of want her to be, very subtly, like... She literally tells no one. It's not a thing that ever comes up. But she's like an Olympic medalist in like fencing or jiu-jitsu, or like she is an athlete, but she never talks about it.
I feel like I would want that to not be, because like I think it's better if her origin is just like my parents like and brother were like, you're a girl, you gotta do girl things. And so instead, I put on a mask and went and learned how to fight in fucking alleys. And so, she just, like, good at that way.
I mean this in the best possible way. Is she from New Hampshire?
She's probably from Boston, if anywhere. She's, like, a Southie, right? Well, I mean, she'd be from, like, Cambridge, but she would go to Southie to scrap.
She goes down to the docks, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, in this world, Dusk Harbor in my head is kind of Boston.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think we settled on that last time.
I like her being from Dusk Harbor. I just, like, she's from, like, the right side of town. And just, like, she got mad at her parents being like, that's not a thing ladies do. And her being like, well, fuck this then. I'm going to go cuss and I'm going to spit and I'm going to kick someone's dick until they die. Like,
mm-hmm. A little bit dagger.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also like that she... I kind of want her to be atypical in that, like, she is more interested in equity than she is anything else. Like, justice and equity are the most important things to her.
Yeah, I like that.
She is chaotic good with a capital C.
Yeah. The way I like, picture in my head is, like, have either of you watched any significant amount of Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No.
No.
Okay, so Rosa Diaz is, like, a really, like, hard-ass cop, but, like, whenever she has to go undercover, she, like, really easily, like, switches into, like a girly mode, and, like, you don't actually know anything about her for most of the series, and, like, it's, like, there's, like, little things that are revealed, like, they go to her house, and, like, all of her neighbors think she's someone different, basically, but, like, to her, it's just, like, a compartmentalization thing, and she's, like, it's not, like, I gotta turn my personality off. She's, like, no, when I put this shirt on,
it's called code switching.
Yeah, she just code switches. Yeah, but she's like also like secretly, you know, Rosa Diaz, who has an axe on her at all times. Like, she also sells jewelry on Etsy. You know, like, because she just, you know, she contains multitudes.
That. Yeah, yeah. I like that Tomboy has a lot to her. I want her to be extremely multifaceted.
Yeah, and I don't want it to be a thing where she's like. Like, this isn't the real me. Like Janie Jackson isn't the real. She's like, no, this is all the real me. Just sometimes I put on boots with a flat sole so I can, you know, and I like that.
Maybe she even teaches Nature Boy a little bit more about accepting who they are holistically instead of
that,
just being,
that would be
I am an
really
avatar
good.
Of the gods. It's like, no, but you're also a person.
But like
you have a lot to you.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I'm going to help you discover that.
Okay, right, let's we have on. To pump the brakes on Tomboy. No more Tomboy talk.
This is a Tomboy season.
Well, yeah. That's it why has been, we have spent 30 of our 40 minutes talking about Tomboy.
Well, that's why I was saying that we really don't have to go over a lot of the other books because they're kind of continuing in the vein that they were in prior to the big event up until a dozen books maybe into Zero. Where things start coming to a head, reality starts peeling back. He actually meets Chronopticon. Chronopticon. Okay, so let's actually pause and talk about Chronopticon for a second.
Sure. Yeah.
A. Does Chronopticon know that they were Atlas?
No.
No.
B. Do we want at any point for Chronopticon to remember that? And if yes, what implications does that have on the world as a whole?
I feel like
eventually.
I feel like eventually, maybe, but like I don't know if this is going to come out the right way. I don't think it matters.
Kind of, yeah.
Because Atlas the Traveler is a secret person, right? Like no one like people know, like the superheroes know, but like Atlas the Traveler is not a public superhero. He's not a He doesn't have a secret identity as far as we know. He was literally like a magic Nick Fury, right?
Right.
So if he's like, oh, I am Atlas the Traveler, that doesn't change
what
anything.
Does that, serve?
That doesn't change anything. But having him be like, oh, I'm Chronopticon and like here is my life story, and then being like, that didn't happen, I feel like that's a lot more interesting, like coming from that side. And then maybe later, because there is also a thing about how Atlas was Sinbad's lover at some point, like in the past. I feel like maybe there's, like, the ghost of Sinbad could come talk to him, and we could just do something with that. I feel like that would be fine.
Well, so, and also, the spirit of the Necronomicon is, like, in his back pocket.
He just has that, yeah, whatever that means.
That leads me to C. At the end of the Zero book, we need to kind of address the rules of reality. So, the rules of reality that we have set up thus far is that the Crucible is pretty much perfect. It is an anti-paradox machine. Mm-hmm. It takes, like, it removes all paradoxes and makes something that is complete and whole. What happens when that is proven wrong? Is this the lead in to a cosmic scale event of the Crucible's reality that Yankee Eagle wished for starts to degrade?
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I feel like that's maybe the next year's problem, right? Is like because that's what this is leading up to, right?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
is that where Zero is going?
By
the end of that, we actually see reality start to shake.
I don't know that Zero gives a shit.
Not a question of giving a shit. It's by his actions.
Like, does it do anything?
Oh,
yeah.
Does that make the world change?
I don't know that we deal with that anymore. I kind of think we put the Crucible and its interactions on a shelf. Because we have a built-in clock on it, remember? Like, we have a countdown happening.
Here's what I think. Here's how I think we rectify this. Is that the Crucible... If I'm remembering correctly, the way we described it is that only the people who were near it are the ones that can start peeling away at what happens.
Correct.
Right.
The closer you are, the more aware you are.
I don't think that means that they can do anything about it. It just means that they can know about it.
Right.
Okay, so reality is not
in danger of falling
apart.
It's a paradox-free wish.
Like, yeah, because
it works perfect.
Yeah, and the only thing that happens is like they will know that like if they lead up to it, you know, or as we lead up to it, like, the most they could know is what that things have changed, and not sure that they can change it back. And then, you know, several events down the line, if we want to, you know, do Crucible 2, you know, if we need some money, we want the sales to go back up, we do that. But, like, I feel like, especially because, like, from a storytelling perspective, it would be, like, a lot, I feel like, less satisfying if they just went, and now we can undo it, you know? But if it was like, this is just how things are now, and we are now burdened with the knowledge that this is not how things always were. Because then that can also lead into, like Nature Boy, like we were saying, I'm loath to talk about Tomboy again. We talked about her for too long. But, like, the whole thing with, like, her trying to get, like, helping... I just like her being Nature Boy's best friend. I think that's just very funny.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just, like, her being like, no, because, like, even, the, like, because if he tells her, like, this is what happened, like, the world was different. And she's like, well, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me because I was on this side the whole time. And he's like, yeah, I know.
It doesn't matter.
And then she could be like, well, maybe you should just, like, accept that things are two ways now, you know? And, like, everything is part of the whole instead of, like, things are from before and after. Like, it's all one thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, that can, like, help him, like, you know, get through this, like, oh, I was sort of burdened with knowing this longer than anybody else and, like, that kind of thing.
So then that leads to my final thing that we haven't talked about that I do think it would be very interesting to do.
Okay. I do have a question about Futuro. Did you just put Futuro on the list or was he there the whole time?
I don't remember when Futuro showed up, but they're there now.
Okay.
The top list is just like ones just that people. We found interesting.
Gotcha.
That I clicked, may or may not have been mentioned before.
I didn't notice Futuro ever before, and I just clicked on him, and the... Can I read you just real quick? Can I read you his little synopsis on public superheroes? Futuro was a hero of unknown origin who operated in Europe during World War II. He was aided by the Futurians. No information on the Futurians is given.
Great.
in his only appearance, he and the Futurians rescued European refugees, kidnapped Adolf Hitler... and took him to hell.
Well, I'm a fan.
But the Nazi dictator was able to strike a deal with Satan. You know how they are.
Well,
Futuro had no choice but to return him to the mortal realm and let him face mortal punishment instead, which, if you'll recall, was shooting himself in a bunker. So
appropriate.
I just think maybe there's something with Futuro we can put on the thing later. But I thought that was a new thing that you just, like, added, and because I never noticed it before. But anyways, Alan, what is your last question?
Yankee Eagle needs an ongoing.
Does he?
Here's
why.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want there to be the inner struggle of Yankee Eagle of my wish came true, this is perfect. But I have to make sure it stays that way. Like, I have to stay perfect. I have to make sure that no one catches on. Like, he's living with this guilt. Because he was not rewritten. Everything else was. But he wasn't. So, no, he didn't kill those people. Literally. He did not do that. That act did not happen. But he remembers doing it. And he remembers that guilt. And he remembers that. And I think that could be some interesting storytelling of having... ostensibly a villain telling himself that he's not going to be a villain anymore. It's kind of almost Superior Spider-Man. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah, I don't think this is an ongoing, though. I think this is a miniseries.
At most, like a limited run.
Because, like, I think that there's a lot of interesting stuff to, like, mine from that of, like, Yankee Eagle is a card-carrying mass murderer, but no, he's not, because it never happened. And to him, like, I feel like it, like, he could easily just, like, in a slightly sociopathic way, just be like, no, it never happened. I didn't kill anybody. They're all back to life. Like, no harm, no foul. I don't know if that would need its own story, or if, like, him trying to, like, prevent things would just be... like, him showing up in other people's books and, like, helping them, but, like...
I feel like it's odd that we put a lot of emphasis on Yankee Eagle,
and then we don't give him any spotlight. After that event,
there's nothing. He doesn't appear again.
Well, what we said was that the Conclave books were his books.
Well, yeah.
Right, but you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
No, I don't think you're. I don't think that's what it is. Like, he's an interesting character to explore.
I think there's something to do there. I just don't know. Like
if we've given him ongoing, that's like beating that drum too much.
Yeah, like because how long? It's like the I don't know. It was a Captain America book a couple years ago where like he was in Hydra and then no, he wasn't. Even though they said that wasn't a psych. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of like that thing. Like I don't want to follow this guy who is like a sociopath being like, I didn't kill anybody. It's fine for too long. I think maybe like a cool one shot, that could be like a really interesting one shot. But
maybe
like,
even do something in like a psychic mindscape type of a deal. Like I like the idea that if he is sociopathic, I want.
Because, like, he doesn't think he did anything wrong because he undid it, you know?
It's very hard for me to put into words. Because on the one hand, he doesn't think he did anything wrong. But on the other hand, he knows that he made the wish because he did do something wrong.
I think that's worth exploring.
Does he lock that part of himself away? And then he's just like, I am Yankee Eagle now and everything's cool because I have shoved that part of me down into the deepest recesses of the world.
I think at the very least, for this like era of the Conclave comic line, the whole deal, I think him being fully like, I didn't do anything bad, no one is dead from me anymore, no harm, no foul, I didn't even kill Atlas, I just wished him away, because maybe he doesn't know that he's Chronopticon, but he like, they look kind of the same, and he's like, ah, fuck, okay.
Yeah.
But like, Atlas has, like, so much weird, like, mystical power and, like, connection to the Crucible built up that it's like, we couldn't get rid of him. We kind of changed him. That's going to be a different problem later. But I think having Yankee Eagle be, like a nice one-shot of exploring, like, him being just, like, fully okay with what he did. And then, like a year or two down the line or, like, you know, farther down the line, we have him be, like just break all of us. You know, like something breaks him down eventually.
Or when the rest of the Conclave confront him. And say, hey, we're remembering some funny things. We need to talk.
Yeah. There could even be, like, a thing where he's like, I don't remember doing any of that. Maybe not remembering that was part of my wish. And they're like, oh, shit, that would make a lot of sense. And then, like, they turn around. He's like, got him. You know, like.
Right.
Like, just to, like, move it forward a little bit. But, yeah. All right, we got to, let's speed run the rest of these singles, these ongoings.
So, I think right off the bat, Phantom Sphinx is, let him just keep doing what he's doing. Undersea is off having exile adventures.
Phantom Sphinx, by the way, is saving gods still? Saving different gods? Yes. Okay.
And I would also say maybe we don't worry about Miss Fury right now.
Right.
Because maybe, we did a lot with her.
Maybe she and Dollman, I also like the idea that maybe some of them have team up books instead of individuals.
Yeah, we could combine a couple of them, like, or just have like a line of team ups, and like whoever doesn't get a book just has a team up. That's the thing we can think about later. I do think Miss Fury should meet Tomboy at some point, but because they're sort of similar, obviously.
So I think the ones we really need to look at are Liberty, because all we did was describe her powers.
So I like the idea of, we had mentioned it during the stuff with the Galaxy Q7 invaders, of researching how to extend her field, essentially, like her energy pool. What if she... And this is going to sound weird because she draws stuff from the Statue of Liberty, but what if instead of America, it's the concept of liberty? It's freedom. Her power is tied to freedom and liberty. So where there is freedom and where there is the concept of freedom to be fought for, she still has access to her powers.
I think that's a really good, like...
Yeah, didn't we call it that at some point? Just
I think she's powered by like Freedonium.
Yeah, Freedonium or something.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Don't look at that. I think that is a really cool. I don't know if that should be like yet, but I think maybe this book is her like trying to figure out how to do that by whatever the story ends up being. Like it's
right,
it's her.
She was like,
yeah.
these were space invaders.
I can do nothing.
I ride on the Statue of Liberty. What do I do?
Well, she also has like a regular power suit and stuff. Right. And she's powered by the Freedom Network in Brooklyn. But she can go somewhere. She just can't like use all of her power to like the most effectiveness. But right. like if there is a moment like five events down the line where she like frees several planets and just all the Fredonium gets injected into her and she is like. Unto a god.
she becomes the
Avatar of Liberty.
Freedom Phoenix. Freenix.
You're trying too hard, bud. That's
I will say this. Freenix. You did get somewhere. I don't know if it's good or not, but you did get somewhere.
We're not gonna call her that. What I mean is where Phoenix is an avatar of life and death, of birth and creation and destruction, she is the avatar of freedom.
Seems absolutely great. So this story is her like
researching it and like obviously also fighting crime and stuff, but like
I don't
pushing
think so.
The limits of her power.
I think she gets a little bit opening of Iron Man movie, where she basically gets stranded somewhere.
She gets stranded.
Ooh. I like that.
And like she's got all of her tech skills, so she can like build a suit, but then she's got to like figure out if her powers can still work there.
So here's the thing about her power. Her power is just. Like knowing how to access the freedom energy field, whatever that means, right?
Right, but she's got to be able to like make it an on-demand thing instead of an instinctual thing.
I feel like this is. Do you know that part in Iron Man 3 where he like invades the base and he has like one glove and like a goggle and like a taser, like that? I feel like that is like this. Era of her book is trying to figure out how to like make that work but being stranded somewhere. I really like that because at the end she can maybe realize like freedom is everywhere. It's not localized. Yeah.
Does her whole story happen at Christmas and does it look like it was a Shane Black movie?
I mean that's literally Iron Man 3, so I don't think so. I feel like maybe not.
I think I did fine. Explosion. I have a stupid idea for Flame and Dollman.
Cool.
Yeah, hit me.
Power swap.
Okay.
Go on.
I don't know how, but somehow their powers get swapped.
Okay, so just to be clear, this is not Crucible related because that has already happened. That's in the past.
This is
post Q7.
This is a team-up book.
Dollman and the Flame.
Or something switches their power sets.
I like it.
And they have to teach each other how to use their powers.
And there's like a lot of good stuff. Cause like we have with the Flame, like her power comes from the previous Flame. Like she was like, she's a legacy character. Mm-hmm. And so like people can be like, oh, the Flame's back, the original Flame. And he's like, no, I'm new actually. I'm a different guy. I like that. I like on the face of it, I don't think it should work because powers are so disparate and like they do not complement each other at all. But I feel like that would make for like a lot of interesting stuff.
I think it makes it more interesting.
Yeah.
Is the setup for this that they went on like they were like flirting during the last event book and they go on a date and it goes very badly.
And it goes poorly.
Ooh, yes. I love that.
Oh, Chessmaster was a Dollman villain. Yeah. So maybe Chessmaster's behind it. Somehow, and Chessmaster's a woman now. Are we just doing that?
Chessmaster had a gender swap.
I like that. And so she just maybe, I don't know, like how, I don't know how this would play, but like, what if it's an accident? Because I don't think Chessmaster, or maybe Chessmaster could know who Dollman is because she's like, you know,
I think Chessmaster probably knows, but like. Like the Flash's Rogues Gallery doesn't care. Just like,
yeah,
no,
just, it doesn't matter.
The identity of the hero is less interesting to me than what we can do.
Yeah. So maybe she's just like, I'm doing a thing here and like, oops, wait, is that Dollman? Who's he with? And then like she does a thing and like to like get rid of his powers, but it to like swap it with someone else, but not thinking
the
Flame has any power.
I like the idea of she comes up with a way to basically push the powers out of Doll Man. And the idea is that once the powers are pushed, they just evaporate. But what happens is the push goes into Flame, and then the pushes push from Flame goes into Doll Man. And so their powers get pushed that way.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I like it.
And I think that's like an arc or two, and then they can figure out how to switch back, but we can still keep the ongoing and make it like sort of like a fun romance.
Ant-Man and Wasp kind of deal. I like it.
Yeah, which are because some of the my favorite Marvel movies.
The Flame is absolutely the more capable of the two. Like, Dollman seems a lot like a dink. 1,000,000%.
Like, well, she's doing things with Dollman's powers that he had never considered.
Yeah, and because she's newer at being a superhero than Dollman because she's a legacy, but like, she's just like, oh, what if I do this? Oh, can I do that? Can I grow? Can you grow? He's like, I can't grow. And she's like, what if I try growing? And she's like 50 feet tall. She's like, you can grow. Did you know you could grow with these?
You just got to think about it left instead of right.
It's exactly. It's just upside down.
And maybe he can do some similar things. Maybe he unlocks like blue flame, like it can increase the intensity of the fire. Like I think that could play really interesting.
Yeah, we can do some really interesting stuff with that. I like that a lot.
Okay, do we want Moon Girl to have a new story? Because her last story was just the events of the game made into a comic book.
Right. I feel like we can continue those. So I do not feel like she has, like, completed...
Yeah. It was a long game.
Beat the Dracula mayor.
I still haven't listened to that episode again. I dread that audio.
Honestly, Matt, it's not that bad. I listened to it again recently, not with this one, but relatively recently, and it's not that bad. It's a little crispy. It's not terrible.
I'll give it a new listen next year. Then before we, Alan, okay, two things before we peace out. Alan, anything else you wanted to hit on this go round?
No, but a la James Bond, League of Friends Who Do Justice Together with Friendship and Love will return.
Cool. Then before we peace out of this one, we have some stuff from our Discord.
We do.
That y'all can go to our pinned tweet at RebootCast on Twitter, and y'all should be able to hop into our Discord that way. There are some special areas set aside for our patrons, which you can also hit us up on. But we had some questions. Jake poked our audience, which is how we got Tomboy, which is amazing.
Thank you.
The character finder 2022. It's early, but I think it's... Also, just real quick, yes, we know Winnie the Pooh is public domain. Yes, we'll be doing something with that.
Very much so.
Very excited about Winnie the Pooh. The first book, but that's enough of it. There's enough there. Can't have a red shirt on. Can be a naked bear with honey.
Someone on Twitter just a few seconds ago was just like, artist, if bear wears red shirt, artist beware. If bear is nude, everything's fair. It's great. So we had some questions here for this. Edge of My Pete asked, Fat Man, Human Flying Saucer was previously rejected for this reboot. Any further thought given to bringing him in as a hero or villain? Fuck Fat Man.
I don't think fuck it Fat feels, Man.
It feels fat phobic. Like, it feels
mean.
That's the word I wanted. It feels mean.
I think if we changed his name to just like
the Human Flying Saucer.
I was gonna say HFO, Human Flying Object. Like,
I love
that's,
that. Yeah,
that's not bad.
Like, he can still be like a bigger dude, but like calling him Fat Man would be like calling Superman Blue Man. You know, like because he has a blue, because he's mostly blue, right? Like, it just except meaner because it's fat phobic. But like,
right.
I feel like we could do something with him, I think changing his name and putting him back on the table is definitely something we could do next.
The only other thing that we would need to be aware of with HFO is that we don't need to extend into Blob territory. I feel like X-Men has almost rightfully started to phase out the Blob because it's not cute.
I think the problem with it, and this is a kind of, I mean, Marvel's problems are deep and varied.
Numerous.
But I think the problem
well documented.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Blob specifically is that he started as a fat joke, and then every time they've, like, come away from it, like, that doesn't stick because nothing sticks for any character in Marvel because, like, as soon as someone else takes over or a new editor gets their hands on them, they either reset to the status quo or they go, like, now you do what I want to do, you know, and, like... So, like, every time, like, the Blob, like, makes some progress, they always, like pull it back. But I feel like, hey, how many fat superheroes can you name? I can name one.
Blob, and there was that other one, that independent one.
Face. Yeah. That's it. That's not great. Nope. That's not great news. So I think we could do something with HFO that would be
sand off the gross bits that were built into that one that put him in that one book.
I mean, yeah, and I think that's why we
League of Regrettable Superheroes.
That's the one.
I think that's why we backed away, was because it was kind of, it just felt gross. But I do like reconsidering.
Okay.
Yeah. So next we'll put him on the docket for next season, and we will someone make a note. Okay, you did. Okay.
All right, so Edge of My Pete has two more questions, and then we have two more from Not Julia 101.
I hear that is Not Julia.
Oh.
Could be anyone. Okay. I tell you, it isn't.
Yeah, who knows? Isn't Julia. Who can say?
Who's to say?
Do we learn how Yankee Eagle received his powers post-Crucible when it no longer cost the lives of his parents? Time Baby, Paradox Free Wish.
Yeah, I think Paradox Free Wish, but I think maybe in the one shot we can like talk about his new origin and you know, during like a lot of the him like not reconciling, but just like being like, no, I'm great still. I did a great thing. You know, my parents are back. All these people aren't dead, you know, and then like, here's my new origin.
But he also has to like learn his new origin, because for everyone else, that's fact. His new origin is the only origin. But for him,
that's a
not.
Good hook for this like miniseries, actually.
I think that's the hook, is him learning about him, what's new, because he is just like affected by it, but he's not
white
part. Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah. There, we figured out the Yankee Eagle miniseries. Now we have a touchstone. All right, sweet.
I'm making a note about Yankee Eagle.
Okay, dope. The last one from Edge of My Pete. Do any of the heroes or villains switch sides because they're Crucible, concerning how they were overwritten? I think that that is a thing we can go into in some other people's books. Like, because we didn't really talk about it, but like the idea of doing their origins again, like, I don't think it would make sense at the way we have structured it. But I do think we can do stuff where like it's new to the reader and to them, but also it's old to them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we can like rewind that. And I think there's some like villains are now heroes. Heroes are now villains. We can look through that and be like, who? Cause like, here's another trick about a lot of these like public domain villains is like, some of them come off pretty sympathetic now. Back then
the
it's
rest
like
of them
this
are
guy,
Nazis.
Yeah. It's like, this guy
pretty
was
much.
Poor. And so now he's a criminal. And it's like, well, that's systemic. That's not his problem. Hold on a minute. Like, and doing fixing stuff like that, I think we could do.
Heck yeah.
Maybe that'll be a next season.
But then also, you know, we are already kind of addressing that a little bit in that in some of the books, like genders are going to be swapped.
Characters are just different.
They're just
different.
Maybe just even having different code names and different things, but treat it as though that's what it's always been, because in this reality it is.
Hey Matt, do me a flavor while you're writing stuff down.
Yeah, what's up?
Can you just write down superfluous?
Where?
Just under the Yankee Eagle miniseries thing. Okay. So superfluous is an idea I had for an RPG campaign about superheroes, but it would work better for this because we're already here, because the Crucible is taken from that idea as well.
Right.
And superfluous is a bunch of sidekicks who no longer have heroes to be sidekicks to.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, I love it.
I love that.
And so there's like, we can just find some sidekicks, erase their heroes, and be like, now they are the heroes, but they're sidekicks, you know?
Right.
And then maybe that's what we can have Tomboy lead them to be like, I'm going to teach you how to be real heroes, since apparently you don't know how.
Since you idiots can't get by, I'll be your hero. I'm your new mom.
I'm your new hero.
I'm your new mom.
Welcome to Boy Squad. I'm your mom.
All of you change your name to whatever it was, plus boy. Let's go.
It has to have boy in it now.
So we've actually kind of touched on both of Not Julia's questions.
Okay.
First one, what are the consequences for being overwritten due to the Crucible? Are there lingering effects like personality traits or impulses they otherwise wouldn't have had making themselves known? And the second one, are there any heroes and villains who lost their powers and are now unable to gain them because of the Crucible? Or is there anyone who has gained superpowers who wouldn't have had them otherwise? And how do people change that?
That's kind of what I was thinking ultimately with Tomboy, was they were a hero that wasn't a hero, but now is. I love the idea of, you know, maybe even, you know, we could do that with... I'm looking. We could do that with maybe... I don't want to do it with Miss Fury. We could have done it with one of our major heroes of they're not super anymore.
Well, we kind of did that with Miss Fury, didn't we? Because
a little bit.
Because she no longer gives up
the lion skin. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. She just gets angry.
We have a heap of people still that we can do this, like Lightning, Amazona, Jewel, Atoman.
Write down heroes or villains without powers or people without power. Just make a note of that, because I think that's really interesting, and I would like to talk about that next time, and I will forget until I listen to this episode in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or 11 months, preferably. This is a little bit late. But yeah, I really like that idea, because if anyone has heard of the comic series Astro City, it is Greg Busick's, Kurt Busick. I feel like I just had an aphasia. Kurt Busick. It's his, like, superhero, and it's, a lot of it is, like, parallels and love letters to things, and there's a story called The Nearness of You, which is about a guy who's the love of his life was lost in a reboot, basically, and it is one of the best comic stories of all time. Even if you've never read any other Astro City, knowing that that's the premise, you can go read the book and be satisfied.
Also love that it's volume 2, number 1/2.
Yeah, because it's like it takes place before some others. I haven't read a lot of it, but I did read this basically just after hearing about it. I was like, I gotta see that. And I think we gotta not ape that entirely, but it is also sort of the entire premise of the Conclave. Writ large, but yeah, that's just like kind of a touchstone, like a inspirational touchstone. Any other questions, or was that all of them?
That was all the ones we got for the superheroes. We have couple more for the pulp space opera.
Thank you
for your questions.
Yeah, thank you.
If you want to be able to ask us questions, get on our Discord.
Get on the Discord.
That kind of wraps us up on this episode. We are immediately going to roll like fools into, the pulp space opera episode that you're not going to hear immediately next, probably in like a week or two.
Yeah.
But still this month.
Soon.
It will be this month. We're getting back on track.
We're going to, God dang it. And then we're going to have a t-shirt with a horse and a space helmet on.
Hell yeah.
And then we'll put out a blue version with a horse and a diving bell helmet.
Now, hold on. That's a joke, but we're doing it. So I don't know what you want from me.
I love it.
How many different horses and different helmets can we make?
Yeah. Is that just all of our merch now, is horses with hats?
I mean, probably.
This is the most... No, that's not true. It is one of the most proud things I've ever been a part of in a podcast.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, folks. Keep an eye out for merch from Hard Reboot. We'll talk about it more when it happens, I'm sure. But until then, I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
We can just go. We can just walk out the door.
New year, new you. You don't have to.
And, you know.
New year, new you, Alan.
I think
you can make a change.
You've been rebooted, but I'm not sure. It's almost as though it happened to somebody else. It's almost like a deja vu 52 that we were rebooted.
Deja vu been rebooted.
Deja vu been rebooted.
Been deja vu booted? Deja vu did? Is any of this making it to air?
You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. Alan Sells can be found at Alan_Sells on Twitter, Matt Hoadley can be found at Matt Hoadley, and Jake Mason can be found at JJ_Mason.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.